Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 2. It is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning lights the sky. And what follows, Psalter 251, the first two stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Colossians 1. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Colossians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, as since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who was for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now was made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. We hope to remember in prayer Miss Miranda Vandenberg, who shall be transferred to the Calgary Hospital, Mr. Wayne Van Harden, who was in the Lethbridge Hospital and is scheduled to be transferred to Calgary this Tuesday for further testing on his heart, Mrs. Ermina Hubrexa and further family with the death of two brother-in-laws, Mr. Bram Hubrexa, 86 years, and Mr. Isaac Hubrexa, 90 years in the Netherlands, and Mr. and Mrs. Garrett and Madeline Clock, who were blessed with the birth of a baby boy. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Most merciful Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, then it is pleased thee in thy goodness and in thy long suffering that thou hast spared us and our children for another week. Thou hast not taken one away by the cold hand of death. We may still be in the precious day of grace. Then in this morning hour, insofar that it is possible, then we may still see and meet one another within the walls of thy house. Then in the midst of all the trials and all the concerns of life, then thou hast showered us with many a blessing from above, and that for a sinful and a wayward people. And then it is so needful that that is felt and experienced, what a sinful people we are, and that there is that godly sorrow, that there is that true and upright confession, and that repentance, and the need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be given to experience what the psalmist has stated, when I confess transgression, then thou forgavest me, O Lord. That is now the one thing needful, and that is a gift that comes from above. And to that end the world may still stand, because there is still a church to be gathered. There is still room in the sheepfold of the Good Shepherd, places which must be filled. May it be for us and our children. May it then please thee in this morning hour to bless thy holy word to that end. Do convert what is unconverted, that it may be the morning of thy sovereign good pleasure, when thy word is made powerful to the quickening of dead sinners, and then they shall begin to cry for thee and to seek after thee. Lord, do bless thy word. We read in thy word of a church after the resurrection of thy dear Son, that they were waiting for a visit. May there also be such souls that have come up in this morning, perhaps as those disciples on the Sea of Tiberias, fishing as formerly, but where it seems that the fish are no longer there, and word has become night, where they have to confess, empty nets, perhaps not even one fish, but Lord, may it then please thee to grant unto those souls that they may be given to cast the net on the other side of the ship, and that is into that covenant of grace, the finished meritorial work of thy Son, where there is such a fullness, where there is such a sweetness, and where there is such a pardoning. Lord, grant the further leadings, as thou hast done in the life of thy disciples. Wilt thou we commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth in this day. May there be a large increase. May thy kingdom come. We commend our branch unto thee, the leaders. Do grant thy help and bless thy holy word. We commend unto thee a young couple who are united in holy matrimony in this past week, and where it may be their first Lord's Day as husband and wife. Lord, may it please thee on their first Lord's Day that thy word may be made powerful, that by thy Spirit it may be entered into their heart, that they may be converted as thou doth convert all thy people. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones in our midst, a widow who has received the tidings, two brother-in-laws have went away of all flesh, ushered into eternity. Do remember the family circles in the Netherlands. Remember the widow in the climbing of her years where the infirmities increase. Do remember the whole family circle. And Lord, do remember and uphold all the mourning ones in our midst. Do remember the handicapped daughter who was waiting to be transferred to a larger hospital, Lord. Then by renewal we commend her unto thee, together with all those that are near and dear unto her, for the body, but above all, for her never-dying soul. We commend unto thee the young father in the hospital with hard difficulties, and where he hopes to be taken to a larger hospital for further testing. Wilt thou watch over him? May there be means that may be blessed. Remember him together with his dear wife and children, where many a difficulty and many a trial have come upon their pathway, and to that end may all the trials, may they be used in thy hand for the saving of never-dying souls. Do remember all those that are under the physician's care, in a special way with all the concerns, with all the fears. Remember the crosses, remember the burdens. The father that continues to struggle with depression, with other ones that struggle therewith, we commend them all unto thee. And then it is pleased thee to bless a father and mother for the first time in their married life with the birth of a little son, how wilt thou grant unto them what they cannot give of themselves, and that is a broken and a humble heart, a soft heart, for their precious little gift. Ah, the psalmist, he is not enabled to do so, and therefore the calling of parents, where the psalmist of old has declared, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. May he be a child of many prayers, a child born, to be born again, a we commend unto thee the grandparents, with their blessing, with their responsibility. We commend unto thee all expecting families. Oh, do graciously watch over mother and the unborn, and at thy time, do gladden with thy divine deeds. Oh, remember and bless all the family circles. And now, Lord, in this morning hour, then we humbly ask thee for thy help. May our help truly be in the name of the Lord who has made the heavens and of the earth. Wilt thou grant many a Aaron's and hers? Ah, do grant those empty vessels, the vessels that are so full of self, of the world, of self-righteousness, may they be emptied, and those vessels where thou hast begun to empty, wilt thou completely empty them, that there may be room for that only name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. May then the oil flow in this morning hour. May our eyes be upon thee with an impression sent away undeserved. But, Lord, do it for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 200, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. And what follows Psalter 200, the first three stanzas. Thank you. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Colossians 1 and there at verse 18, where God's word and our text reads thus: "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Our text words speak of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ having the preeminence, with three thoughts. In the first place, as the beginning for the church. Secondly, as the head of the body. And in the third place, as the firstborn from the dead. The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ having the preeminence. And that word preeminence, boys and girls, that is a big word. But that means to be on the top. That means to be number one, to be chief, superior, to be matchless. The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ having the preeminence as the beginning for the church, as the head of the body, and as the firstborn from the dead. Beloved congregation, the epistle to the Colossians, written by the Apostle Paul when he was in prison for the first time in Rome. He has sent this letter together with the letters of Ephesians, Philemon. And when we read this epistle, then it is evident that Paul has not been in this congregation. Because in chapter 1, verse 4, we read that he has only heard. And in chapter 2, verse 1, many have not seen my face in the flesh, so it is believed that Paul has not been in this congregation, but that it has been found by Epaphras, who has labored amongst them. And then undoubtedly, then the labors were sent out, because Colossae, that was a town in a cluster together, we read thereof in chapter 4, verse 13, together with Hierapolis and Laodicea, about 16 kilometers apart, that when Paul has labored in Ephesus for 3 years, these cities approximately 160 kilometers to the east, that labors have been sent forth to this area. It was in present-day Turkey, in Phrygia, in a beautiful, fruitful valley between the mountains. There was a river running through that valley. There was a well-traveled route, thus much trade. Thus it was a beautiful valley. But there was a time that although in nature it was beautiful and it was fertile and where it was fruitful and the trees, the birds, and the animals have still declared the praises of the Lord, that there was a time in that beautiful valley that the praises did not ascend from the children of men. Thus, in that respect, we cannot truly call it a prospering valley. Oh, family circles, how is it in your midst? It is a privilege when the Lord still provides for our daily bread and that we may prosper. But how is it now with the praises of the Lord? Is it without those praises that the earth is so full of the goodness of the Lord and so empty of his praise? But then the King of the Church, then he has sent his messengers to preach law and gospel to that place, and then it was applied by the Holy Spirit, and a church has been established, and now Paul in prison for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in Rome. Then he has heard of that church, and then in the first two verses, then a salutation, and then in the verses 3-8, a thanksgiving for what he has heard concerning that the church may prosper. But then also in verse 9-13, a prayer still for an increase and for holiness, because we have heard it, the exhortation that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then in the verses following, in the verses 14-22, then Paul is given to speak and glorify the Son of God as the foundation of salvation and as the King of the Church. And so we read in our text words, and he is the head of the body, the Church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Thus Paul is given to speak that the King, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who was resurrected from the dead, that he may have the preeminence in personal life, in family life, and in the midst of the church. And therefore there is spoken in our text as the beginning for the church. And then God, his dear Son, because we read in verse 15, in verse 16, concerning the Son of God, for by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. We read in John 1, the first three verses, that Christ is called the Word, and that the world was created by him. The psalmist in Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his life. Thus when our text speaks of the beginning, then Christ together can never be separated, must be distinguished. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they have created the earth, and they are upheld in the Lord's providence till this very moment, because the church shall and must still be gathered, O congregation. There is still room in the sheepfold. May you be given to seek earnestly, oh, to knock at that door, young and old, that you may receive. The door is still open. There comes a time when the door goes on the night latch at our death, and then if we have not entered in, then it is forever too late. But now our text declares him who has the preeminence, who is the beginning. He has created the heavens and the earth, and he upholds everything in his divine providence till this very moment. But then he especially is the beginning of his church. Oh, that beginning had its beginning in the Council of Peace, where the Trinity is counseled together concerning the salvation of the children of men, the work of a triune God, where all the attributes of God are glorified and are harmonized. Oh, then that beginning, then they're in the fullness of time, then Christ has assumed our human nature to make a beginning in the state of humiliation and to finish that work in that state that his church may be saved. Oh, the beginning, that is the moment of regeneration. The apostle has spoken thereof in verse 13. Who hath delivered us? Ah, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And where were that people found? In that beautiful valley with those fertile fields. Then they were found, as we read in verse 13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Oh, in creation we read in Genesis 1 verse 2 that the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, and so it is the work of the Holy Spirit that man may be born again, that he may be uncovered and discovered, that he may learn what he needs, that he is lost, to make room for him in our text. Ah, when the Lord begins, then the Lord receives in beginning preeminence. Oh, it is true. Those souls, they have many things to mourn about, many times that they give into the whisperings of the world and the devil. Nevertheless, the Lord receives the preeminence, that they may say with the Peter, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee, and then it is needful, that is the work of the Spirit, to bring to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may receive the preeminence. Oh, when we speak of the beginning of the church, then they come under that prophetical office, and then they are taught things which they have never known before, and then they learn how ignorant they are, and then they are given to beg, then they are given to search, and then they are given to seek. Who is the beginning? Oh, then they are quickened, then those dry bones, then they begin to tremble, and then they are clothed with flesh. Then it is when they are called by the almighty power of God, as we read in John 11 of a Lazarus, Lazarus come out. And then the stone was rolled away, and then Lazarus, then he started to walk. It is true, those grave clothes had to be removed. Then he was given to breathe, and then he was given to hunger. And that is now the work of the resurrected Lord. At the right hand of the Father, he has preeminence. All power is given unto him in heaven and upon earth. Always is the beginning. And not only the beginning. If he was only the beginning, then for the church it would be forever lost. Because every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variables nor shadow of a turning. And to that end, this specifically written, true in many places. But when we think of Revelations 1, There the Apostle John on the island of Patmos with such mysterious ways, a congregation on the other side of the waters on the Lord's day, and he on that barren and lonely island, but given to experience that the Lord knew of him, and then he was given to see him of our text, who had the preeminence. Oh, then John was given to see something of that preeminence, and then it was declared, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. Oh, then he is the Alpha and the Omega, the way of providence, the way of grace. Oh, may that be courage for souls, for seeking souls, for fishing souls, that he is the Alpha and the Omega. Psalm 138, verse 8, he will perfect what his hand has begun. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thy hands. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Concerning his promises, he is the Alpha and the Omega. Concerning the further leadings, he is the Alpha and the Omega. Concerning holiness, sanctification is only in part. The preeminence as the beginning of the church. And how is it now in our life? Who has the preeminence? Who is number one? It's a very personal question. Boys and girls, young people and older ones, who has now the authority in our life? Who do we love the most? It's a tender question. Husbands and wives, young couples that have been married, then the Lord must have the first place. When that is, that does not mean that husbands and wives love each other less, shall even love each other more. Because then there shall also be love for their souls. But now our text that further explains whether there has a beginning and whether the Lord truly has the preeminence in our life and then for the church of God. Because I read in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. There's a separation in knowledge. Our second thought, as the head of the body, Christ in the scriptures, many times, different places, think of the Song of Solomon. Then he is the bridegroom of the bride. We've heard it this past week with marriages that the husband is the head of the wife. And in our text words we read, and he is the head of the body. Christ is the head, and the church is the body. And now a simple type is used, a body with a head. Boys can understand it. A body without a head cannot live. Then there is death. Further, that our body receives orders from the head. Our head tells us to move our hand. can multiply it out. Further, that head has conformity to the body. We think boys and girls of creation. When we think of a horse, the head, that fits with the body. Just imagine if you had a horse with the head of a pig. That would not look right. Or a giraffe with the head of a lion. When we see God's creation, the birds, the animals, our human body, then there is a likeness. And so I read in Romans 8, verse 29, that the church conformable to the image of Christ. And for the church, then there is that sorrow that it is not as it should be. That unlikeness, that sin, that pride, the list is long. Oh, the wonder that the head of the bride, the head is the bridegroom, is love, is patience, forbearance, compassion, care, provision, and protection for the bride. This hymn, the head, has the preeminence. If we would see a creature, we would now have an animal, boys and girls, with two heads. That would be an awful sight. I read 1 Kings 18, verse 21, of the people halting upon two opinions in Christ. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 6, verse 24, ye cannot serve two masters. We cannot love two alike. Think of the Old Testament, not according to God's institution, was tolerated, let us say it that way. Think of Jacob with his two wives. He could not love both alike, could not serve two masters, despise and hate the one and love the other. How is it with us? It's the question about preeminence. Has the Lord now preeminence in our life? And now concerning a body, we are wonderful created. Then the body receives the orders from the head. But then there needs to be connection. There are people. Oh, what a blessing it is when everything works. What a privilege and what a blessing when no ailments, no pain, healthy and strong. Do we now use it for him that has the preeminence, or for self and for the world? When a person is paralyzed, then the head can tell an arm and a body to move, to walk, but that leg does not move. Thus the head and the body must be connected. Our children can understand it. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Thus the bridegroom and the bride, the head and the body, the union, by that true saving faith, which is granted in its essence in the moment of regeneration, and wrought by the Spirit each time by renewal, can be not only when the body is paralyzed, but when a body is very sick, that everything does not work so well. Oh, that sin, that sin. And now when it is well, then for the church, then that sin, not only in beginning, O people of God, in the beginning, how tender. When the Lord truly begins, then as such a soul what sin is. But now it is so necessary that sin remains sin, and that godly sorrow every time by renewal. Because when the body, when the church walketh in sinful and wayward ways, then they shall not run, as they read in Psalm 119, in the way of God's commandments. Then it shall not be so visible that the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has the preeminence. He is the head of the body. Thus the head, told you boys and girls, that tells us what our body to do. Think with your schoolwork. You got an assignment. It's all the wonderful creation of God. But then the body also sends messages to the head. When you hurt yourself, whatever it may be, injure yourself, then the body sends messages to our head that we are injured and that we have pain. And so the body, the church, oh, I read in Exodus 3, verse 7, that the Lord has said to the children of Israel, was the church, the body. Ah, they were suffering much. They were beaten by those taskmasters. They have groaned. They have wept. And then the Lord has said, I know all their sorrows. And in Hebrews 4, the verses 15 and 16, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but what was in all things tempted as we are, sin excepted. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace and to find help in time of need. He is the head of the body. And now concerning that head of the church and the body, they can never be separated. And the bridegroom, we read in Genesis 40, what has the butler done? When he came out of prison, he had made a promise that he would put a good word in for Joseph. But the butler forgot. Came a time. Next chapter. Remember my faults this day. necessary each time by renewal for the church. But now the head of our text, he is resurrected from the dead. And oh, he did not forget his church. Not forget Mary Magdalene, the women, Peter, travelers to Emmaus, the evening, 8 days later, Thomas. He did not forget those disciples on the Sea of Tiberias. It's not a strange matter to fish. Fish the same place, the same way. And before it seemed there were so many fish, sometimes a fish each Lord's Day, in God's house, open the same scripture, find the same sermon, and to catch nothing. Oh, the head, the resurrected Christ, he did not forget his church. Sought them out. He visited them at his time, his way. Many times such mysterious and unfathomable ways. And he ascended into heaven. And there he sits as head of the church at the right hand of the Father. With, as we read of the high priest in the Old Testament with that breastplate, 12 stones, 12 names of the children of Israel. He remembers the body. He lays them before the Father. He has gained the victory on Calvary's cross. All power is given unto him in heaven and earth. And then it is the solemn duty, the solemn calling, that the body does not dishonor the head. It's even for boys and girls. You must try to do your best wherever you are, not to bring shame upon your parents. Have an army, soldiers, in the body they are soldiers. They are not people that sit in a lazy chair, but they have to fight the battle for their head. And then those soldiers must watch and pray that they bring not dishonor upon the king. Then they need to be on their guard and to be diligent that the head may be honored by them, and to pray continually, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Read in our text that in all things he might have the preeminence. Brings us by renewal to the question, who now has the preeminence in our life? When it comes to the test, who is number one? And then to help with the answer, what are our thoughts much occupied with? What gives us the most delight? What makes us to rejoice? What is our greatest need? What are the petitions in our prayer? Are we exercised with the coming of his kingdom, the glory of his name? what gives us sorrow is that our sin or backsliding is our heart filled with special sorrow when the name of the Lord is dishonored. Read of the church, he has the preeminence. Some things, most things, Paul has written to the church, that in all things he might, declares the way, the possibility, that is the work of the Spirit, and when it is right and tender, then the body has much to confess that they are worth to be cut off. A member not so profitable. But we have heard who is the beginning. People does have a beginning. You need a beginning for an increase. People that speak of increase in great things, but they cannot speak of a beginning. Let us sing Psalter 125 of him that must have the preeminence. The first four stanzas, O royal bride, give heed and to my words attend. For Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. Psalter 125, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, having the preeminence as the beginning for the church, as the head of the body, and now thirdly, as the firstborn from the dead. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. When we read in our text that Christ is the firstborn from the dead, then of course we know that in the Old Testament and also during the ministry of Jesus Christ, that there were a few that have been raised from the dead. But those in the first place were raised by the power of God. And Christ has declared concerning himself that he had power to lay down his life in John 10 verse 18 and power to take it again. And then in the second place, those that were raised up from the dead, they have died. But Christ is risen to die no more. He liveth forever, has ascended, and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Concerning the beginning in the life of the church, and then they come under that prophetical ministry. They are taught matters which they have not known before, and they are so eager to learn. They are eager students. They learn how ignorant they are in heavenly ways. And when the Lord makes that beginning, then such a soul, they choose the Lord to be their king. And then the king's word has great authority in their life. Then they are given to search it, given to pray over it, given to confess much, confess their manifold sins. But now it is necessary, and that is now the work of the Spirit, to uncover, to empty, that there may be room for the priestly administration of that dear Savior. And to that end, in our text, then it speaks of that priestly office. They can never be separated, need to be distinguished, that he is the firstborn from the dead. O people of God, why has he died? That is to redeem his church. He has taken all the sins of his people upon him. He was willing as the servant of the Father, as the Passover lamb, to be nailed to that cursed cross. Is the payday for the church. It is finished, in Greek one word, telos. Completion, a debt has been paid. But now our text, the firstborn from the dead, the amen of the Father, upon the work of the Son. Romans 4, verse 25. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. The firstborn of the dead sitteth at the right hand, and from thence he poureth those heavenly graces, as we read in our Heidelberg Catechism. He poureth those heavenly graces upon his church, that they may be given to experience the riches thereof, that they may be given to see him, all power in heaven upon earth. He is the Alpha and the Omega, and he shall never forsake the work of his hands. That, as we read, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Oh, our text words. Uncovering for a shaming, but also for encouragement, that he might have the preeminence by renewal. That is now the question. Who has the preeminence in our life? It comes down to the point. Who is number one? And it is true. The question can arise when our persecution comes, and I would be called upon to choose between him of our text or my dear wife, my dear husband, my dear children. How would I fare? Does that question ever arise in your heart? Then it comes to the test. It's not so difficult when we may stand on the pulpit without persecution, come to church without fear of being arrested, and we can have a beautiful confession. But who now has the preeminence? Who now has our heart? That's the question. It's when a young couple is married and they receive a bride, they especially need her heart. When the bridegroom has the bride's heart, then he has her all. And now we read in Proverbs 23, verse 26, my son, give me thy heart. What are we seeking? And we shall not speak of sinful things, may we be kept. Not speak of addictions, but are we now seeking our joy, our happiness, our fulfillment only in the things of the world, which can and shall never satisfy? True satisfaction can only be found in our text. And now we read of a beginning, all by renewal. When there may be that true beginning, that true love, that genuine sorrow, that earnest seeking, the forsaking of the world, begging for the pardoning of sin, all for a people, may find their life declared, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, those blessed people. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. In all things shall have preeminence. That shall be. Also on the great day of judgment, when the head of the church shall appear upon the clouds of heaven, when the trumpet shall sound, and the last one shall be converted. And then we shall all see Him, His glory, upon the clouds of heaven. He shall have the preeminence. Send forth the angels to perfectly separate those for whom the Lord has received preeminence and those where it is not the case shall be placed on the right and on the left. Ah, for those that have hearkened to the word of the King. Oh, the King, come. All ye that are heavy laden and burdened, those that have hearkened, then by renewal those precious words, but those that have refused to come and bow before the King, He is the preeminence because He is called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then those terrible words, depart from me, ye cursed, to everlasting fire. Ah, then for the true child of God in glory, the preeminence, cast the crown at His feet. Then no more self-seeking, no more pride, no more sin, no more sighing, no more sorrow. And for those that go lost, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, our text proclaims rich and profound things. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of one that has preeminence. And may we all, from the youngest to the oldest, to be given to honestly examine our hearts, our desires, our exercises, our lives, to which people we belong. Oh, Lord, use it. Apply it by Thy Holy Spirit. May we be found more a praying and a begging people. Ah, may the King do a great work amongst us, that Thou may receive the preeminence in the hearts of young and old. Then Thy name shall be glorified. Wilt Thou watch over us in this day? Grant traveling mercies. Do return us in this evening hour. And do pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter. Psalter 203, the first four stanzas in sweet communion. Lord, with Thee I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thy own to keep me near Thy side. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The second wedding announcement of Jared Henry Vandervein and Geneva Judith Van Lyck. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, May 1 at 10:30 a.m., Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. There will be a midweek service this coming Thursday evening, April 30 at 7:30 p.m. The following young adults have attended the Confession of Faith classes and been examined by the consistory. They wish to make public confession of faith, which is scheduled for the Sunday morning service of May 3. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory before April 29. They are Daniel James Beyer, Alexa Hennelin Vanee, Jesse Bernice van der Stroot, Sherlyn Johanna Ludeman, Kendra Henrik van der Breinhast, and Opal Hendrika van Gardera. Psalter 203, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.